chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's Word in Matthew chapter 2. And the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For you have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for this thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that as we talk about your story, the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, the miraculous story that it is, and the fact that you came to be a sacrifice for our sin, and the life that you lived, and the death that you died, rose again so that we could experience joy and peace and rest here this morning. Oh Lord, help us not to miss the truths of that story. Bless you, the remainder of our hour here in your house, please, and accomplish whatever you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Obviously, Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, Luke chapter 2 gives the story of the birth of Christ. And we've all, if you grew up in church as I did, we've heard the story told over and over and over. And there's not a lot that I could give as a unique bend on the nature of the story. It's a miraculous story. It's an incredible story. It's a life-changing story. It's one of the pillars of our faith, the virgin birth of Christ. Obviously, his death and miraculous resurrection. There are truths there that cannot be compromised. We won't fudge on these things. Someone asked a while ago, there was a story out in the news that they had found the body of Christ. And obviously, those skeptics are always running around out there. And it was asked on CNN or Fox or one of the talk shows. He said, "Well, would it really be a big deal if they found the body of Christ? Would that change your faith at all?" And obviously, somebody doesn't quite understand the gospel message. If Christ did not rise again, the answer was, well, yes, it would change the story. It matters. Now, I want you to know it matters that Jesus was virgin born. The young girl named Mary was met by an angel and told that she was going to be with child, and this child was going to be the Son of God. And obviously, she was taken aback by that, as you and I can't imagine how that would go. I've never talked to an angel. I've never seen an angel. There was a popular TV show, Touched by an Angel, and people seem to enjoy that show, but I'd rather be touched by Christ, I don't know about you, than touched by an angel. But regardless, an angel met Mary and told the story, and obviously had to meet with Joseph as well, because he was kind of concerned that his betrothed was pregnant, and he was not the dad, and couldn't figure out what was going on. And the Bible records thinking about putting her away privately, or ending the relationship, and not trying to embarrass her, and fighting with all of that. Is, guys, can you imagine the lady that you're engaged to is pregnant? I mean, I can't. Devastating would be an understatement. And obviously, the Lord told Joseph, "No, the child that she has is of the Lord, and don't hesitate to make her your wife." And Obviously, armed with that knowledge, they went on, and there was a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. We all love taxes, amen? And so they had to go. This was before PayPal and the internet and even the postal service, and they had to go and represent themselves in the town where their roots were, and it was Bethlehem. So they went there, and the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in swaddling clothes and put him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding the field. I just picture in my mind the Dickie-wearing, blue-collar men out on the field that God wanted to know that, hey, my son has been born. I want you to know. And so obviously a multitude of the heavenly host appeared and praised God and saying glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, as Heather just sang about, goodwill toward men. You and I can experience peace in our hearts, but there'll be no peace on earth until that Savior comes as the King. And there will be peace on earth. But for now, you and I just get to experience the peace and the rest that we'll talk about in the message this morning. And the shepherds, after the choir disappeared, said, let us go and check this out. And they ran down and they saw it and they told Mary and Joseph all the things that they had seen. And this is not just average. This just isn't another birth. This is the virgin birth. It's only happened one time, will never happen again. It was our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the story is told over and over, and sad to say, not told as often as it should be anymore. But obviously we believe it. The Bible predicted 4,000 years ahead of time, Genesis 3:15, that it would be the seed of a woman. The Old Testament prophets proclaiming the Messiah would come. Herod asked the wise men, and they knew from the Bible of a king that would be born. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, we've already read it, and they were quoting Micah 5:2. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art thou not at least among the princes of Judah, but out of thee shall come the governor that shall rule my people Israel. Old King Herod felt somewhat intimidated about that. So wait a minute, this is my domain, this is my area. And so, yes, he brought peace, but there was tremendous turmoil and chaos and cost of lives when our Savior came. Born of a virgin, Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible said how he would teach in parables. The Bible said where he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. The Bible said he would rise again. But this morning we are looking at the events of his birth, and I'm taken by Matthew chapter 2 in the first two verses that I want us to concentrate on one saying that the wise men said. He's born of Bethlehem, Judah, Herod the king. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And are come to worship him. Say that with me. And are come to worship him. Worship. You look it up in the dictionaries, to pay divine honor, adore. A synonym would be revere. You look up revere, is to adore. Mean to regard with profound respect or honor. Adore. Respect. I thought those things were earned. Seriously. If you want to be respected, you're going to earn that, pal. You can't demand it. Folks running around, show me some respect. Maybe you don't deserve it. Ever think that? But a baby? We've come to worship? Hebrews chapter 4. If you have your pew Bible, it's on page 1294. I want to read you. I want you to know that I believe we can adore, we can worship the baby, the Christ child. I believe that. Many people mock at that thought. They think, oh, that's crazy. That can't be true. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 is, I think, a critical verse in God's word that you need to get a hold of. And I'm going to read it to you. In Hebrews 4, 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It takes faith. Did you hear me? It takes faith. Say that with me. It takes faith. I've had folks tell me, well, you know, Stan, I don't believe in God. It's because you're not willing to take faith in something. It takes faith. If you go on and read, for we which have believed do enter into rest. I think that's a critical thing that the story of Christ offers, that when I, in faith, believe the gospel message, rest enters into my life. Here's the key. People will struggle and fight and work. There was a man saved in this church recently. I won't say his name. Some of you know who I'm referring to. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Folks in this room had witnessed to him. He was fighting it, coming up with excuses. You could see on his face and in his life was in turmoil and chaos. Decisions he had made was destroying him. His family was falling apart. Didn't know. Finally, someone spoke to him. And you know what? It takes more than one. It takes you sharing the gospel, me sharing the gospel, your coworker sharing the gospel. Years ago, this is a pathetic illustration. Years ago, I needed to buy a car. Wasn't sure where I'd buy it. So I asked one of my customers. I'd run a service station at the time, and we didn't have any money to speak of. It was very early, newlyweds. And I'll tell you what, if you've got money when you're first married, I congratulate you. But that's extremely rare, okay? We didn't have much, and I needed the car, no money. And so I started asking around, I need a car. Where should I buy one? Two or three or four people came up with the same name of a dealership that was selling cars. And after a while, I thought, well, I guess I better go there. You know, if you're struggling in life, it would help if every Christian was talking about Jesus. And so that after a while, someone would get the idea, you know, Mary said it, and Joe said it, and Stan said it, and Fred said it, and Judy said it. I think maybe I ought to check into this Christ. It takes more than one. So finally, this individual decided to choose Christ. And the next time I saw him, you could see the struggle in his face was gone. God had given him rest. Now, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't sleep good at night. I fight over finances at times. And I think, there's things I want to do, but there's only so much money in the pot. Maybe your pot's bigger than mine, but my pot seems to be quite small. And so I think I'd like to do this, and I'd like to do this. And I hate to borrow money. I hate it. No offense to you bankers that are in the room. I married a banker. I love bankers. I'm not kidding. But the borrower is servant to the lender. If I owe you money, you own me. I don't like that. So so there's only so much money in the pot, and I think I'd like to do this, and so I struggle. I don't seem to find rest for my finances. That's life. You know what? That's life. I do physical work. And yesterday I was wrestling with a vehicle. And it's up on the lift and I'm fighting with that. And then other times I'm wrestling with boilers in our small non-profit oil company that we run. And different things that we do. And I'll tell you, at times I get home, I am tired. It seems like I have no rest. And I get up in the morning and I ache. I'm old. I ache. Thank you. The sympathy in this room is so moving. But you know what? We won't ask for hands, but how many ache when you go to bed? How many ache when you get up? I mean, you know what, folks? That's life. But only God can give you rest for your soul. Amen. That's something that I am not wrestling with. See, the other thing, you either rest or you wrestle. And I'm not wrestling in my soul. I know my sins are forgiven. I know I have a home in heaven. No matter how old I'm getting, my best days are ahead of me, not behind me. That's the key. Is I have decided to read this book, mix it with faith, And I find it extremely profitable. If you're here this morning, you're saying, Stan, prove it, prove it, prove it. I think God has proved it, but at some point you just have to decide, okay, I believe. That's the difference. So this incredible gospel story we have this morning, Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2, talking about a virgin birth. Really? I'll tell you what else. Jonah, swallowed by a whale, 3 days and three nights. Throw him up on the shore. How'd you like that? Okay? Just a little for you there. My wife loves it when I do that. She just wants to give me a big hug. I can tell, you know? People, you can't believe that. Really? You know what? I do believe that. And I'll go as far as saying I would believe it if the story went the other way and Jonah ate the whale and threw it up, which he would if he had. I just choose to believe God's word. Wise men come and they say, we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him. Really? A baby? You're going to worship a baby? I said last Sunday night when my first son was born, Phil. He's home from college. Tori is. You others are. Love having the family home. Amen. It's just great. Now they can work. There's so many things. I've been looking at things and thinking, when they get home, they can do that. They can do that. They can do that. You know? They love me. So, but when my son was born, first in the hospital, in that little bassinet, instantly, you love him as a parent instantly. And I look down that little thing and I love you, Phil. That hasn't stopped. But I want you to know, I don't worship my son. I didn't worship him then. And I don't worship him now. Okay? Does that make sense? Wise men travel and travel and travel. It's speculated that we have the manger scene and not here, but you see many of them, and they set up the three wise men there or there. And of course, there's three gifts, not necessarily three wise men, but there they are, and you've got all that going on. But you know what? It wasn't there. They were already living in a house, and they saw the young child. It wasn't a baby anymore. Herod went and killed every child 2 years old and under. So you know there was some time that had happened there. So now we've got a young child, but still not old enough to worship. Why is that? Very quickly, three reasons. Number one, we can respect and honor and worship our Savior because of why he came. Number one, he came to save. John 3:16, let's quote it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then 17, you ought to know too, and this is where we're going. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So here's the deal. All through Jesus' ministry, you saw him reaching out to the lost, caring, loving. The woman at the well had lived with five guys, and she's with six, or whatever the numbers were. Really doesn't matter at that point. And she says, come see the man who told me all about myself. And he didn't sit there and talk to her and share her life with her and look at her and say, how could you? Really? How many guys does it take to make you happy? And I want you to know, ladies, if the first guy doesn't make you happy, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, sixth, the seventh, it ain't happening. It's over. You can't be made happy. All right? But I'll tell you something. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. That's the key. Our job isn't to point out the problems with people's life. Our job is to offer the Savior and let God do the reforming, and he will. But keep this in mind. He will condemn, but that's not now. The story is told of a young boy that was out swimming and he was starting to drown. And a young lawyer saw him, which is a fantastic story that a lawyer would do this, but a young lawyer saw him and risked his life and ran out, swam out, grabbed him, saved him, brought him back. They got to know one another, and years went on afterwards, and the boy grew up, and the lawyer moved on. The boy turned into a hellion, breaking the law, getting in trouble. Finally, the law caught him and brought him before the judge. And the judge happened to be the lawyer that saved him, who is now a judge. And the cocky young man looked at this and said, "This is no problem." He says, "I know this guy. He saved me. I'll be fine." And he walked up to the judge, and the judge threw the book at him. He said, "But judge, you know me. You saved me." And he said, "You don't understand, son. On that day, I was your savior. Today, I'm your judge." And I want you to know right now, this morning, Jesus is offering salvation. He's not condemning you. He wants to save you. But the day will come when the salvation will be over, and he will be your judge. And don't look for forgiveness then. Forgiveness is over. It'll be time for judging. Number one, how can we adore him? How can we worship him? Because he came to save us. And if you'll trust him and mix him with faith, he has. He also came to seek. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You ever been looked for? Message would come out once in a while, "Dad's looking for you." I'd always, "Why? Why does he want me?" I want you to know this morning, if you don't know Christ, or if you've gotten away from him, he's looking for you. He wants you. He's hunting for you. The Bible tells us to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. You and I not only need to be talking about Christ, we need to be looking for those that are looking. We need to be talking to those that aren't looking. We need to be planting seeds and letting someone water. And this is the business of the gospel. It's life-changing. It's transforming. It's eternal. And we want to talk about the New England Patriots? Really? That's great. Those things are fun, but I want you to know if at the end of the day, at no point in the day have you talked about Christ, you've missed the boat. The greatest thing we do is we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We represent him. And if we're not talking about our Savior, we're not living for the Lord. We need to be looking. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. Get out there. Do something." Shame on us when we don't. People are dying and going to hell because we've kept our mouths shut for too long. We're losing this country because we've kept our mouths shut for too long. I'll tell you what, we got something worth bragging about. We got someone we can worship. We've got someone we can adore. He came to save. He came to seek. He's looking for you. Why? Because he flat out loves you. How great is that? Ever pass notes in school? Don't raise your hands. When we were young, I like you, do you like me, yes or no, and we'd check the box. We'd put in these boxes, you know, yes, check the box, no, check the box, and we'd pass these notes around. You know, it's funny, it seems like as families grow up now, when kids don't seem to be interested in, boys don't seem to be interested in girls at a young age, like I was interested in kindergarten. I was picking them out in kindergarten. There was never a time I wasn't interested, you know. And it's just, is this too much information, you know? So it's just crazy how the times change and people change and things change. But honey, I'm in trouble now. Why was I telling that story? I did. I got. Hang on. I got to look at my notes real quick here. You might need to edit. What's that now? Thank you. Thank you. That's it. Thank you, Sherry. I love you. All right. Now, so believe it or not, I got notes passed to me. You know, you work the crowd, you'll get some response. Okay. So once in a while, you get a note from a girl that likes you. Well, I'll tell you what. Whether I liked her or not, I'm flat out flattered. Can you imagine? Listen, all ridiculousness aside, God loves you. Yes.
how incredible is it that God loves me? Bill Gaither wrote the song, He Knew Me, Yet He Loved Me. I'll tell you what, folks, I'm not making this up. I know I'm your pastor, and you folks think way too highly of me than you should. But if you knew every part of my life, I bet you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. I'm serious. You know why? I'm human. I'm not perfect. Close to it, but I'm not perfect. You know, seriously, would you want the world to know everything about you? No chance. No chance. And I'm not living in sin. I'm not trying to hide. I just know who I am. He loves me. He knows me. There is nothing hidden from him. He knows me. Yet he loves me. Folks, that's incredible. I love you. Do you love me? Yes and no. Check the box. Lord, I love you. I love you. Came to seek, he came to save. And lastly, as we draw to a close here, he came to serve. Mark 10:45 says, For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, there is belief systems that require work and effort are growing like crazy. Muslims out there are going berserk over things, thinking they're going to please Allah. Allah is Satan. That's all he is. Allah does not exist other than the heart of the demon that represents him. You can quote me on that. He's an idol. But millions follow that belief system because as they work for that, it fulfills their prideful nature. Mormons are the same way. Mormons in the United States are one of the fastest growing belief systems. To be a good Mormon, you need to work, work, work. There's three levels that you can attain to in heaven. You don't all go to the heaven that you and I believe in. No, no, if you don't go good enough, you're only going to the first heaven. If you do a little better, you get to go to the second heaven. If you do really good, you get to go to the third heaven. So what do? You got to work, 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 work. You know what, folks? That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. It's wrong. Jesus didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. I want you to know, Jesus did all the work. All you and I have to do is believe. And then because of that belief, my wife's sitting in the front row. My daughter is. Both of them. I can say this about either one of them. They love me. They treat me well. Because of how well they treat me, I want to do in kind or better back for them. That's the only reason I do that. Not because I think they might like me more if I lavish them with gifts, although that would probably work. But listen, you trust Christ as your Savior. He came to save you. He's looking for you. He wants to minister to you. It's for you. You can have it. All you have to do is believe it. And after that, that is so transforming. You want to do things for him, but it's not because to get saved. It's not to keep saved. It's because it's a relationship that it's wonderful to beneficial one for the other. I love you. You love me. I will not stop trying to worship you, adore you, love you because of all you've done for me. That baby in a manger, why would we come to worship and adore him? Because he is God in the flesh. He's awesome. He loves me. And those wise men knew what they were looking at. They had mixed their Old Testament with faith, and they believed, and they saw what they were doing. I'll close with this. If you were here last Sunday night, for 2 years in a row, we've done our Christmas play. And it's not just the manger scene. It goes right through to the throne room. If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, you can go online and watch it. Satan was in it. Gary Dorman. He's not Satan. Ken Mitchell was an angel. Ken's no angel. John Plummer was Jesus. I am not mocking the play, but I am. And you know I love the play. And here's what I'm trying to illustrate to you. When they do the throne room and Peter Bragdon's singing, "All is still, heaven is silent, as the mighty judge ascends the throne," I'm telling you, I get goosebumps. In a little Baptist church with a bunch of sinners, and I am just taken with the thought of what heaven will be like. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? If you and I get moved by just simple sinners acting out of play, and I'm telling you, I'm not Pentecostal. Hey, whoa! Did I scare you? Scared me. There's just something in me that moves this old dead Baptist that I want to be part of that. Worship. Worship. Say that with me. Worship. Let me tell you, this Christmas, with nobody around, just you, in your closet, so to speak, you make sure you worship the Savior. Because wise men, there's scoffers, there's skeptics, there's unbelievers. Shame on them. Stan Griffin's IQ, if 100 is average, I'm probably about a 98. I'd like to think I'm almost average. But I'm wise enough to know you can worship the baby. He's God with us. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Christmas story. Thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we love you. Forgive me for at times being ashamed of the gospel and not speaking when I should. Forgive me for not adoring you like I should. You saved me. You sought after me. You've ministered to me. And someday you're going to come and get us. And there's going to be a great reunion someday. And Lord, I pray that every person here has mixed what they've heard with faith and chosen to believe, and they can find rest for their troubled soul. Thank you that we can have rest in you. Thank you that we can know peace in our hearts when the world is falling apart all around us. We can experience peace from the Prince of Peace. Heavenly Father, I pray that if there are those here that have never said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior," they'd say those words right now. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you." And then, Lord, for us as Christians, at Christmas time, saying Merry Christmas matters. Telling folks about Christ matters. Sharing our faith matters. And Satan has sold us this lie that if I can't win him to Christ, then why bother? Lord, you can win him. If we just be faithful, share our faith, talk about the Lord, gossip the gospel. Lord, use us. We'll open the altar. We'll give an invitation. If folks have questions, we'd love to talk to them. I'll be right here in the front. If folks need to talk to you, maybe we ought to just respond this morning by coming and say, "Lord, thank you for being my Savior. I just want to worship you." Use us whatever way that you want. Help no one to leave this building this morning not having done what you've asked. In Jesus' name, amen.